there. Welcome to the North Shore Church Podcast. We are delighted that you've decided to take this step of faith and join us for the next few moments together as we explore one of the messages from our Sunday morning gatherings or special event given to you by one of our pastors or special guests. We trust that you can connect with us through the show notes or through our website, thenorthshore.church. Please stop going to church. Please stop going to church. You know, this is, again, you should ask Elizabeth about a conversation she had this week. And I'm just going to give you the context. I want her to tell the story. Do you just talk to her after church? You can do it now. You can tell you to stop going. But I'm going to give you the punchline is, yeah, but you have Jesus. And ask her that story after church. And then if you ever wonder if God is up to something in our community, in our kids, think about the story that Elizabeth will tell you after you ask her here at church. And you will see God is on the move across the North Shore of Lake Superior. And so with that said, since God is on the move, we need to stop going to church. Now don't panic. Don't take the clip of that sermon. Don't take this and share it on social media and go, the pastor said never go to church. Just said, stop going to church. Let's before you send that to Jason Small, our district superintendent, let's just hear me out for the next few minutes. Can you let me explain here for a second? I'm not saying we need to worship less. I'm not saying we need less gathering. I'm not saying we need less commitment to the body of Christ. I'm actually using this as a way to say the opposite. Because some of us need to stop going to church and using church as a destination or as a place to visit. Like, visitors to me that come to church are the people that are here temporarily, right? They're driving through town. They might stop you. You're a visitor to a church. We're so glad you're here, which we are. That's true. And if we have someone from our community come, they're not a visitor. We don't want them to be a visitor to our church. We want them to be our guest, and then we want them to be part of the family, right? And so we don't want people to go to church. We want to do something different. We don't want church to become the destination. And so we don't want to just go to church when our schedule allows it. And I get there's lots of shift workers. And so, I get it. This isn't messages and for you. I'm talking about we only go when we feel like it. It's really easy to go to church when we feel like it, right? Yeah, absolutely it is. It's really nice to go to church, sometimes when the weather is good. Like, it's easier to get up, it's easier to get out. But sometimes you sit in church going, man, it's really nice out there. Like, I could really be on the lake right now. I could be really on the beach. You know, Kelly's going to be at the beach at 11 o'clock. You know, if Pastor would hurry up, we could get there. Now, don't worry, she's got lots. We're only going to go, this is the big one, We're only going to go to church when the kids cooperate. Like, you guys have seen enough kids lose their minds, run around like crazy, and you have seen the tiredness and the weariness on parents' faces. This is not good. But I'd rather you be here as a parent with your kids just going psycho nuts than for you to miss out on what God has for you. We can help together. Oh, man, it's loud. I get so distracted. Then you hear stories like I just shared, right? It's worth it. We don't want church to be a destination. In fact, I would say many times, in spite of the good weather, in spite of the bad weather, in spite of how we feel, in spite of how crazy or good the kids are, despite of whether the music's good or not, we would go to church regardless of those things. Here's a fun fact for you. Did you know that, guess what day of the week my kids like to sleep in the most? Sunday. My kids rarely sleep. Well, Mackenzie's kind of starting there. But the younger ones definitely never really sleep in. Like 7, 7:30 for sure. Like, if it's 7:35 and the youngest isn't up, like, he must have been up really late or it's Sunday. And it's not that he doesn't want to come, but it's just, it's a fascinating thing to pay attention to. hardest day to wake up on our for our family, and we love the church. Like, if you didn't think we love the church, we love the church. And it's yet the hardest day to get up is usually Sunday mornings. Fascinating. We're part of the family of God, though, and this is why we get up to go to church. And we want to put down deep roots as part of our faith. And so the highest calling of being a follower of Jesus is not simply to show up to a religious destination. That's kind of what we want to avoid. Because if we show up to a religious destination, rules become more important than, and the rituals become more important than the relationship we have with God. The calling of following Jesus is deeper than using church as a destination. We're called to be comforted by Christ. We're called to be joined to his body, filled with his spirit, sent to this world. Church is not a place we visit. It's just something that we belong to. It's not a family. It's not a distant cousin or relative. It's a family that we're planted in. Church is the mission which we live from. And that matters because it's a big difference between attending something and being rooted somewhere. And this is kind of where we want to talk about. So just stop going to church and let's be rooted in the Church of Jesus Christ. Let's be rooted and planted together. You don't have to listen to anything else I have to say today because that's the point. That's the bottom line. And if you start to tune me out because you say, Pastor Gary, I got the point, then go ahead, scroll on your phone, do a crossword puzzle, do a Sudoku, chat with your neighbor. I'm okay with that as long as you get the point that we're not here out of religious obligation, but we're here because we belong to God and we belong to him together. Now, before I get to any further, let's jump into the word this morning. And I did a favor. I didn't do a handout again, but I put it on the screen for us. And here's our first. We're out of order. No problem. It's all good. You didn't see anything. Yes, I did. I saw the underlines, Pastor Gary. Let me read this from the New International Version. On planted in the house of the Lord, stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." Now, let's go back. And let's look at some words that we've highlighted here this morning. The righteous will what? Read it underlined. Like a palm tree, they will. Like a cedar of Lebanon. In the courts of our God, they will still. When? How many look forward to that? How many look forward to still bearing fruit even if you don't want to be old? There we go. There's the better question. They will still build fruit in old age. They will stay. And, you know, I remember, I've told you this story. People ask me, how long have you been in ministry, Pastor Gary? Or actually, they just say Gary. And I say, well, I've been stacking chairs and tables since I was 6 years old. It's wonderful. It's like, there's just so much, it's just what you do. And I'll never forget, I did an internship at my church after high school. It was after my first year of college, and I had to carry a table up the stairs, and our church had a awkward to get around this corner. And there was a plumbing issue, so there was a plumber in the church on the side of the table breaks, and so it's like just incredibly awkward. Do it, and I have done this 100 times. Like, I have moved this table or tables around this staircase. Like, I couldn't even count the number of times I've done it alone with people, whatever. And the plumber goes, like, and he, obviously because it breaks, it's a struggle, it just looks awkward, it feels awkward. And he goes, oh yeah, greenhorn, these green kids, eh? Don't know how to do anything. And I was so offended in that moment because I had carried a table so many times. Anyways, why did that strike my memory? Well, I just love the idea of being fresh and green. I think of the song we just sang this morning. This is in the notes, by the way. Lord, I need you. Like, I need you, God, on my best day as much as I did on my worst day. Right? When I'm new to the faith, Lord, I need you. God, when I'm old in my faith, may it be like, may I still need you the same way. May I still rely on you the same way. Maybe it looks a little bit different, but God, my faith is still going to be new every day because I need you in every moment. I don't know if that's exactly what it means, but let's stay fresh and green. All right, let's stay not stagnant. Let's not burn up. Let's not get dry. Let's not turn brown like a withering bush. But let's stay fresh and green. All right. Proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my... There we go. There is no wickedness in him. Lots of good establishments. Beautiful picture. God is our righteousness. He is our rock. There is none like him. There is not any element of wickedness in him. He is trustworthy. Let our lives keep declaring that the Lord is faithful, just like we sang in our songs this morning. But notice this promise that we have this morning. If we are planted, if we are rooted in the family of God, the promise is that we will grow. Not by casual religious attendance of just going to church, but actually being firmly rooted and planted in the things of God. So, number one, God wants his people to flourish. God doesn't want you just to survive. He wants you to thrive. You've probably heard me say that a few times because I think it's one of the dead horses I can tell someone who is thriving would say it. God doesn't want you to survive. He wants you to thrive. Right on. This must be summer, you know? Must be summer. I wore shorts today. Thriving in life today in the beautiful summer that we have so far. It's not a language of bare survival. This is a language not just scraping by spiritually. Do we go through seasons, the ups and downs, the mountaintops, the valleys? Absolutely. Do we just feel like we're getting by sometimes? Yes. Does God want you to stay there? No. We go through the ups and the downs. It's part of life. God, what we say, I just get okay. God, I believe, wants his people to flourish. And we just pause on that for a second. Because sometimes I think our vision for the Christian life can get a little small, especially when we're in survival mode. Sometimes we think the goal is just to believe the right things, attend enough services, show up just enough. God will forget even the bad, sinful things that I've done. And maybe, just maybe, I hope to make it to heaven one day. If your goal is to come to church just to make it to heaven one day, I don't think you're flourishing in who God has called you to be. Do we look forward to seeing you in heaven? 100%. Going to church isn't so that we can see you in heaven one day. Because I believe God wants you to flourish right now. I want you to know that God wants you to flourish because Jesus said his kingdom is coming and is now here, and it is still yet to come. And we can talk about that another day, but it applies to our message in this moment. God wants us to be alive. He wants us to be fresh and green. Psalm 92, the psalmist says, the righteousness flourish like a palm tree, grow like a cedar in Lebanon. I don't know if you know this, but if you're in the desert and you're thirsty and it's dry and you're walking through, it typically means there's an oasis on the way. And so when we see this picture that is painted by the psalmist, there's a palm tree. It was a picture of life, of victory, endurance, and fruitfulness. It could stand tall. It could survive the heat, and it could keep producing more palm leaves. We also see, of course, palm leaves. Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. Palm leaves were a sign of victory. And it says, if we are planted in the house of the Lord, we will stay fresh and green. We will grow like the cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. We will be like a palm tree. We'll flourish like a palm tree. God wants you to flourish. Look at the cedars of Lebanon. When they built the temple, they took the cedars. Our faith in Jesus needs to be long faith. It needs to become durable faith because we're going to go through the ups and the downs, the ups and the downs, the oscillations of life. Cedars are not flimsy trees. They're strong. They lasted. They were valuable. I think of this young man that I shared good news about. We want to continue to put structures and things in place for your faith, how to share faith, because all of these practices build up our faith to be strong like the cedars of Lebanon. And so when the psalmist says, the righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like the cedar, it is showing that God's desire for his people is not a shallow, weak, or temporary walk with God. He wants to grow something strong in us. He wants to do something beautiful in us. He wants to do something enduring in us. And certainly he wants us to be fruitful, and he wants to do something fruitful. That wind blows from the north, and the snow like drifts in our driveways, and it drifts on our back decks, and it drifts up the door, and you open the door, and you can't step out. Maybe drive by my house, and if the snowplow has gone by, you wouldn't even know that there was a driveway there. That's the way it drifts. But you know what I'm thankful for when the wind does blow, and the snow blows like crazy, and it drifts? Not an ounce of that snow or water comes into my house. Why? Because the house is built on a strong foundation. It's got a strong frame around the door. It's got an insulated door for the most part. Sometimes I put the kids' ski pants on the bottom when it gets really windy. But I'm thankful because that protects us from the storms. And when our faith gets tested, I'm thankful for the enduring practices of our faith that we have to continually do the next right thing when we have to. Put one foot in front of the other, even if it's difficult and hard. Because we, as we sang this morning, we know that our God is faithful. He is righteous. And if we are righteous and we take on his righteousness, we will flourish like a palm tree, even in the harshest, let's go from winter back to summer, even in the harshest desert conditions. Now, we also know that sometimes we can plant things in the wrong places. We can end up with drops, the ground freezes, the storm comes off the lake, and you find out just how deep those roots go. Anyone ever see a tree grow on a rock cut, and one big storm, it's down, it's gone? Like, because roots don't really grow through the rock very often. It's true spiritually as well. We can show up to church, we can even believe in God, we can even be near the things of God. But if we're honest, we might still feel or still be spiritually dry. You know, we can still be relationally disconnected. We can still be maybe even just emotionally untied. Unsure that we belong. Unsure why we're not growing. This is the heart of the message today is invitation. I said it at the beginning, right? If you're a visitor to church, it means you're passing by. If you're from our community and you show up and it's your first time, you're a guest. And we don't want people to stay as guests. I mean, I love to be a guest, right? It's nice when you go to a hotel and someone else has made the bed. You leave for the day, you come back, and someone made the bed for you. They've restocked the coffee in the room, or they give you like the free breakfast downstairs. No matter how bad it is, you're like, someone else made breakfast today. We all love to be served. But we know that Jesus didn't call us to be served. He called us to serve. And so today, if you are feeling one of these things, standing on the outside looking in, or maybe just near the people of God, I want you to know this is an invitation for you, not a get out and stop coming altogether. Because I understand that this is a journey. It's okay. Some of you are just like, I'm just going to check things out. And so let me give you an example. So yesterday, Leland bought his he has other skateboards that have been given to him, not very good. Because if you get a used skateboard, like, it's probably not very good if you know anything about skateboarding. But he's been saving his money, and he told all of his friends to his birthday party, don't give me presents, give me money. But he had a purpose. He didn't just say, give me money. He said, give me money for a skateboard so that I can buy the one that I want to get. And so we head to the city yesterday, and we head to the skateboard shop, and he buys his very first skateboard on his own with his own money, birthday money, grandma and grandpa birthday money. And, you know, he's chill. He's like, this is cool. He's trying not to look too excited. And so we go, you know, we do a couple things, a couple other errands, and so we go to the Marina skate park. And he's going, he's having a great time. He's pretty good. He balances quite well. It's not a foreign thing to him, but it's a new board, it's a long board, it's got big wheels, it's good for bumpier surfaces, it's smooth, he's like really excited. But they got the bars and stuff to grind on, and he's not there yet. He's like, it's really hard to ollie on this board because it's so smooth and the bearings are so new and it's just hard. And he didn't want to try it. And then, you know, the time was going on. I could tell he's definitely getting tired. And as he's ready to go the next little bit, and he's like, well, I want to talk to some of these skaters. And so this is what he did. Kind of just would sit and he'd just watch. And he kind of, and then he'd lean in and kind of move a little bit closer. And he would just watch. He's like kind of just watching what they're doing. They're doing some tricks and ollie and everything. And then he kind of went a little bit closer and just said, do you think you could show me how to do young adults? I know they were over 19. Well, I assume they had a can of beer open on the side there. Random fact you didn't need to know, but. And they took the time and they're like, just do it, man. And he demonstrated. And so, you know, I could say, just try it. It's different when dad says it, right? I'm too cool for that. No, I'm going to go to coming to Jesus sometimes. Like, it's just one little step closer. It's just one little step closer over time. We're looking in, and we lean a little bit more. And so, you know, wherever you're at in your journey, like, this isn't a message to just stop doing that. No, if that's where you're at in your faith journey, good, bad, the ugly, and the great. By the way, if you didn't catch that, you've all heard the expression, the good, bad, the ugly. Someone said recently, I can't remember where I heard it. I think it was on a Zoom meeting or whatever. Someone said the good, bad, the great, and the ugly. Good, bad, ugly, as much as I can. Good, bad, ugly, and great. As you lean in, you may see the good, bad, ugly, and the great things that the church has to offer. But the point is, we want you to become rooted, and we want your roots to grow deep. Because when the storm comes, one, if your roots are deep, you're going to be a support to. When you see some of the bad, when you see some of the ugly, like, and so we want your roots to grow deep. Because God wants your faith and his people to flourish. All right, what else do we do? What else do healthy things do? They flourish. They grow. They're planted. Well, what is it that we plant? We plant seeds. I don't know if you've noticed, but trees tend to go through cycles, and they release their seeds in one way, shape, or form. And when the right conditions exist, those seeds grow. And I believe our life, your life, is like a seed as well. It's an amazing thing, right? It looks so small. It's just a careless possibility just in the palm of your hand. But inside that seed, there's the potential for growth. There's the potential for it to flourish, and there's a potential for fruit. There's the potential for multiplication. If it's a tree, there's potential for future shade, potential for nourishment, beauty, and future life, right? Because if we plant that seed and it becomes a tree, it's going to produce other seeds, and it's going to produce so on and so forth. Seed carried is what it could become. And so here's some of the tension. A seed can have potential and still never become what it was meant to be. Like, if you drive by my house, I was teasing my neighbor because they drove past my house and then they slowed down. I think they were just checking their phone or they dropped something on the floor. I texted them and I said, "Are you checking out my new grass, aren't you?" And I'm incredibly frustrated because, you know, we had a sandbox in the front yard. Kids didn't play in it. And I thought, okay, it's time to take out the sandbox. And it's time just to do something different. So we ripped it all out, put down some sand, put down some nice, went to Home Hardware, got all the earth, got some, like, mixed it all up and add some, you know, fertilizer. I was tempted to, you know, when the cow truck was at the Canco, I was like, can I just shovel some of that, you know, into the, you know. But anyways, I'm trying to do all the right things. I watered it first. I put the stuff down. I put the seed down. Put some more to cover the seed. You know, did kind of almost all the right. Half, maybe not quite half, is growing. I had some leftover sand and dirt, some leftover soil, and some leftover seed. There was a low spot in my backyard. I threw the sand down, I threw the seed on top, and threw the dirt, and just said, let's just see what happens. You know what, grass? Anyways, my neighbors are not driving slowly by my house, oogling over my grass. But the point is, those seeds are still there, but the conditions are not right because they haven't been positioned properly to flourish, to grow. And so we got to do something a little bit different. The tension is that a seed can have potential, but it can never become what it was, still has the potential to never become what it was meant to be, because it has to be planted. A seed that is never planted will remain dormant. It can sit on a shelf, it can stay in a package, it can be preserved, it can be protected, it can be admired, it can be talked about. But until it goes into the soil, it will never grow and become fruitful. And so we want to continue as a church to create the right conditions for seeds to grow. We want to continue to foster healthy relationships, do the right things. We'll get to the list here in a minute. So that not only will seeds grow, but for the seeds that are dormant, we can continue to protect and preserve for that when the Spirit is ready in that life to grow. They're in a place that is ready to thrive. So in case you think I'm crazy, I am, but also Jesus used this picture in Matthew 13. Seed, some seed falls on the path, the birds come take it away, some falls on the rocky ground, and then it springs up quickly, but because it has no death, the sun comes out, it fries the seed, it's in the grass, it's no good. Some fall among the thorns. The thorns, of course, choke that. But then you get the seed, it falls on good soil, and it produces a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times more than what was sown. Because here's the beautiful thing about seed, right? Like, you don't want to put, like, if you're harvesting corn, you don't want to put a kernel of corn in the ground and hope to get one kernel back, right? Like, that would be ridiculous. One for one is not a good investment strategy. It's like, no, if we're planting, we're expecting a harvest and a crop. Jesus is talking here about the word of God and the condition of the human heart. He says, the principle here is something that we can't miss. He says, fruitfulness requires the right soil. Fruitfulness requires depth. And this speaks to us. It's possible to have spiritual potential, but never let your roots take place or take deep root in people, worship, word, service, and the mission of God. It's possible to believe but stay disconnected, to attend and remain unknown, to watch and never participate, to have gifts but never use. Be planted so that we will grow. We want to be rooted so that we can form. We want to have gifts that are used. We want to continue to cultivate our calling. We want to get involved and realize maybe God actually can use my life for something good. I learn a lot of things in my life by doing. I don't know how you like to learn. Maybe you learn by watching. Maybe you learn by just reading a book. But I learn a lot just by doing. Watch a little bit of YouTube and then do it. Right? I can build anything when I watch a YouTube video of how to build it. Doesn't always look as pretty after. But I do it the next time and the next time. So 8 years ago, we moved into our house. I re-caulked around the bathroom tile in the bathtub. And I've done it before, but I don't, you know, it's not something I do every day. In fact, I can tell you I do it about once every 8 years. I got the good stuff, so hopefully I don't have to do it in 8 years. But it looks a lot better now than it did when I did it 8 years ago, I can tell you that. Because I learned by doing. I learned by watching, observing, being close to people who are doing the same thing. And it's like the same thing when we get planted. I think one of the best ways to be active and to grow in your faith is to just do it, just to live it out, just to start doing those things. You know a few people, you get to serve in a small way, and maybe, and then one day, you know, you're standing in the circle and someone says, hey, why don't you pray? And you go, I don't have done that before. But then you go, well, I've heard everybody else do it because I've been near, I've been close. I can do that. And you speak up and you pray publicly for the first time. And you start caring about the mission, not just your own experience. And the gifts you have begin to surface. Confidence begins to grow. And you get to experience a whole new level of joy as your gifts begin to grow and flourish. Because going to church, by the way, is not the same as being planted. You know, there's a word in the Greek that's sent because we are called. We gather for purpose, not don't just watch. But I believe there's lots of ways that we can be planted that are official and unofficial. Because I believe roots grow when we pray together. I'm just going to give you the list. I said I would. Roots grow when we pray together, serve together, give generously, show hospitality. As we've proven this morning, care for youth and kids when we join a team, as we're going to prove on Wednesday, January 1st. Oh my gosh, July 1st. 6 months ahead. Thinking ahead, no. When we join a team, when we learn together, when we serve at kids' camp together, Lord God, I hope we're not cleaning throw up and barf off the floor together, but you know, you never know when it's kids. When we learn together, when we cry together, when we grieve together, these are the ways that we grow. We grow and we show up to the development days. We want to be equipped. I don't know why you went on here from Elizabeth. She's got lots of good things to share. Roots grow when we care about the community greater than just ourselves. Roots grow when we care more about people and not just the calendar. This is what it means to move from attendance to belonging, from watching to participating, from that church or the church to my church or my church family. And you know that someone has come along on the journey when the language shifts. Because I don't know if you know this, church, but he's called us to it. It's our church. And when you're planted, we know that roots grow deep. If you don't believe me from the psalmist here, maybe you don't like the Psalms. Let's go to another prophet. Let's go to Jeremiah. He says this in Jeremiah 17, 7 to 8. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in years of drought and never fails to bear fruit. I think you got the picture. And if you don't, I read this verse a couple weeks ago. Does anyone remember hearing that recently? One person. Awesome. I read it again so you'll remember. But here's the thing. A person who trusts in the Lord is not described as a person who simply visits the water once in a while. They're planted there. Their life is rooted there. Their strength is drawn from the nourishment that the river brings. Jeremiah says that planted by the water, the roots go deep. And when the heat, clearly roots matter most, not when things are good, but when the weather changes. Encouragement. Those are the seasons that show us where our faith is, whether it's sitting on the surface or whether our roots have really, truly grown deep. This is an invitation because God doesn't want you to attend church. Stop going to church and be rooted in Him. He wants your life to be rooted in Christ. He wants your deeps to be rooted quickly. Deep, strong roots aren't anyway. They're formed thoroughly and thoroughly reading Scripture. They're formed by prayer, by repentance, through relationships, through service, through generosity, spiritual accountability, choosing again and again and again to trust God, even if it seems like it would be easier just to drift away. And that's why the life of the church matters so much. Because we're never meant to follow Jesus alone. We need one another. If you know this, isolated people are vulnerable people. If you don't believe me, let's go to the African safari together. And I will leave one of you alone in the safari. And a group of us will stand at a distance, and then we will see who the lion attacks. Any volunteers? Diana has been there. She's good with cats. We'll let her show us. Isolation is signing your death warrant. Because isolated people makes us vulnerable people. And we all face temptation. We all face the enemy whispering lies in our ears. We all hear the world telling us a different message all the time. I don't know about you. I'm sick and tired of seeing ads all the time. As I'm sure, you know, every magazine you open, there's an ad. Every video you watch, there's an ad. Every highway you drive on, there's an ad. Like marketing, I get there's a anyways. But when we become isolated is when we become vulnerable. And that's when the enemy comes after us. So you need someone to speak truth when your mind is tired, someone to sit with you when there's no easy answers, someone to remind you of God's faithfulness when you're going through a hard time. This is what it means to be planted. This is what it means to be the church together. There's a family, they had lost a child. And longtime believers, pastor in ministry, and the dad said, I can't even pray. It's so hard. And so you know what happened? Every single day, his best friend would send him an email every morning with the prayer that he prayed on his behalf. This is what he did to make sure that he didn't become isolated. He'd call him on the phone and still couldn't say anything, couldn't share the words, and his friend would just do the praying and the talking on their behalf. And because of those moments, you know what? That father prays today. He's able to talk to God about the things today. Does it still hurt? Of course it does. Does he still grieve? Of course he does. But he never had to walk the journey alone. And if you look around the room today, we would say, we don't want any of you, we don't want any of us to walk these journeys of life alone. Maybe you've seen someone go through a hard season, and you know what carries them is not the hype, it's not the noise, it's not the shallow emotional support, you know, thoughts and prayers, like tap on the shoulder. I don't really understand the thoughts and prayers. The prayers, yes. The thoughts, I don't know. It's nice to be thought of, I guess. It's the prayer that is powerful, though. It's the showing up and sitting there in the silence and the quietness and the awkwardness sometimes that matters. This is what rooted people do. This is what church people do. I don't go to any other club. I do that to be served, I guess, but when we come to church, we gather, we come to serve the Lord and serve one another and serve those that are far from him. See, the church is not just a place that people attend, it's a place where people ought to be planted. It's a church where people can survive the heat because they're drawing from the living water of Jesus Christ. We're nearing the end this morning of the message, not the world. Well, maybe. When you're planted, we already know, you produce good fruit. If you don't believe me, read Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you want to know more about that, go to our website and listen to last summer's sermon series. It was all about the fruit of the Spirit. God wants to grow in us. Love when there used to be selfishness. Joy when there used to be despair. Peace when there used to be anxiety. Patience when there used to be frustration. Kindness when there used to be harshness. Goodness when there used to be compromise. Faithfulness when it used to be inconsistency. Gentleness when there used to be pride. Self-control when there used to be impulses. That is the fruit that we want to see grow in and through us. And notice, fruit is never only for the tree. An apple does not eat its own apples. Fruit is meant to bless others. I think we understand that concept pretty good. I think of the how. How do we just show up for people? How do we get involved in the lives of people? You know, we have a great, wonderful relationship with our high school. And I had a great moment helping with the graduation. I'll just tell you, doing the sound and the tech for the high school graduation is the most awkward thing I do every year because of where the tech stuff is. I have to sit on the stage next to the graduates, behind the curtain, beside them. I feel like the Wizard of Oz back there. But it's such an amazing moment, right? Like, here's all the kids we served hot dogs to the last 4 years. And, you know, it's hot, and there's like 500 people in there, and it's hot, and you're dressed up nice. But, you know, I mean, God's just given me this ability to serve the gifts that I have. I've always been into the tech stuff. But you know how I showed up? You know how I got there? Actually, the best compliment for our church came from one of the longtime staff members. As I was just saying, have a good summer, and there was a new teacher in the building. And they said, oh, have you met Gary, have you met the people from North Shore Church yet? And he says, no, I haven't. He says, I've heard about this infamous hot dog lunch, but I haven't actually met them. He says, and like she just did not stop talking about the people of North Shore Church because they showed up. And so here's how I got into that. I think it was 2018. High school did their winter concert. And I just wanted to check it out. I like some live music, wanted to see, you know, what was going on. And so at the end of the night, I just kind of walked up to the stage, you know, said thanks to the students and to the music teacher. I said, can I do anything to help clean up? And like, you know, being a musician, being into the tech stuff, like you never always want someone's help because you're going to do it wrong. But he said yes. And so I started wrapping, you know, the microphone cables the way that I very particularly want to wrap the microphone cables. And it caught his attention. He said, you know how to do that? I said, yeah, I know how to wrap a microphone cable. Maybe I should have given everybody a cable just to see how they would do it, and then I could teach you how to do it right. How many grab it and just do the arm thing like this? Don't ever ask to borrow a cable from me if that's what you do. And so I'm, very simple way. And so, of course, he's like, you know how to wrap a microphone cable? I said, yeah, I know. Opens up a conversation. And so by the next spring series concert, I showed up before the event started and started helping with their sound and their tech. And, here we are today. Now, it's a little bit bad because they're like, oh, we forgot to tell Gary. You're going to be there, right? Yeah, what's the date and the time? Yeah, I'll be there. Now, this is just my story. What's your story? How are you showing up in people's lives? I know some of you are. I'm not saying, but here's the question to ask yourself and be serious about it. How am I showing up in the lives of people to make a difference and to serve them? I'm going to stop telling stories, but, sometimes we ask, what is the point of this hot dog on Tuesday mornings? What's the point of showing up? Like the number of students that trust the Lord because we've served them a hot dog. And the seeds that have been planted. We talked about the seeds. Some of those seeds are still dormant. And we're going to lean in a little bit and pray that those seeds come alive. Because there's a lot of young adults, they have some seeds in their life that are laying dormant and God wants to see them thrive on the North Shore. That's what I believe. So let's just continue to be planted. How do we get planted? It doesn't happen by accident. Sometimes God does things in spite of us. I hate those prayers on a Sunday morning. God, please use me in spite of my lack of preparation. God does what God does. But seeds don't grow and plants don't grow merely by accident. Nobody drifts into having deep roots. No one lasts in their faith without putting down a strong foundation. There's some big soccer thing happening right now. I don't know if anyone's been aware. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah, obviously. World Cup. Like, you don't just get selected and randomly show up into a World Cup game. Like, they're not calling Gary Aduno and, hey, we need someone to join Team Canada. Would you mind coming and playing soccer for us? Just imagine. I get halfway across the field. No, those players get there because from the time that they were able to walk, they've been kicking a ball. And then as their life grew on, they learned how to pass the ball. They learned how to stop the ball. They learned how to control the ball. Some of these guys can do amazing things with a soccer ball. And I'm lucky if I kick it in a semi-straight line. It doesn't happen by accident. It's methodical. It's planned. And it's trained. Being planted begins obviously with the soil and good soil of the heart. It begins with a simple prayer of surrender. Lord, I need you. And Lord, I'm willing to be planted. Lord, I'm willing to be rooted. That may be our starting place for some of us today. I don't have it all figured out, Lord, but I'm willing. Here I am. Here I am, Lord, send me. I'm willing to be planted in Christ, his word, in his people, in his mission. Planted people build rhythms into their life. Why do we go to church every Sunday? To get rooted. To add some fertilizer. To add another layer of dirt. And when we're feeling down, it's to receive the encouragement. When we're on the up, it's to come and encourage. Planted people build healthy rhythms so their heart stays close to God. We use what God's placed in our hands because planted people, I believe, are good stewards of what God gives them. Planted people don't do things in isolation. They're known people. So let people know you. Let people pray for you. Let them miss you when you're gone. How many people are singing that song? I'm gonna miss you when you're gone. Because one of the signs that you're planted is your presence in the body of Christ. And so when you're working and you're away, I want you to know you're missed. When you don't show up because you didn't feel like it, I want you to know that you're missed. And I believe that God wants something great for your life. And so sometimes we just need to be patient. We know that trees don't grow overnight. But through time, repetition, and obedience and grace, before long, your roots will grow deep. Now, here's your marketing and advertising for the day. If you want your roots to grow deep, step up and serve. We need you on Canada Day. We need you at Kids Camp. I don't really need you. I want you. Right? Like, I can go to Canada Day, and Brandon and I can go flip burgers, and we can tell jokes. We can dance to Derek's music. No one wants to see that, but we'll do it anyway. But we had a riot last year. Like, we had a ball. It was more dancing and less cooking, and people were waiting for their food at one point. But they got into it, too. Is that the point? No, but these are the things that build deep roots. And not to, you know, this is what sucks about a small town. Like, God's planting seeds. God's watering seeds. Sometimes we see signs of life. But if I tell you that the story, you're going to know who it is, and they're not ready to tell the story. But I can just tell you this. One of our volunteers doesn't come to church. His kids come to junior high. Came with us on a men's camping weekend. And at the end of the weekend said this statement. Well, I guess I'm kind of at the beginning of my faith journey. My mouth almost hit the floor. And I said, praise God. This is what it looks like to be rooted. And so today as we go, let me read this one more time. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like the cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. I didn't get to that point in my notes, but some of you old people, you have amazing faith. Continue to get old and grow strong in your faith. They will stay fresh and green. Remember that, old people. Remember that, young people who one day will also be old people. I did not make eye contact with anybody. Proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him.